Everyone wins, no one loses, and effort equals achievement. Do you think the world would be a great place if those were the rules? Utopian. I suspect they're not the rules, of course, and success usually comes after more than a modicum of blood and sweat and tears. Failure is a good foundation for success, don't you think? That's the lesson one Perth school has announced. It wants to teach its students, they even wrote to parents indicating so, I gather, they're concerned that too much praise for every little thing will leave their students unable to cope when they face the inevitable disappointments in life. Not enough praise can be a bad thing. What about too much praise? Is this a pushback at the whole self-esteem movement? Joining us this morning is Trent Driver, the Dean of Academic Development at Brisbane Girls Grammar School, and also with us is Andrew Whitehouse, the Winthrop Professor at the Telethon Institute for Child Health Research at the University of Western Australia. Welcome to you both, sirs.
Good morning, Natasha.
Andrew, I think this announcement by the Perth School really struck a chord with you.
Oh, it absolutely did. I think there's been a movement for very long time now to give children praise all the time in the hope that it will actually help build self-esteem. I think what we're seeing now is it actually might be having a great effect in the short term, but a really detrimental effect in the long term. What I am a huge advocate for is school being more than just achieving academic excellence. It's about emotional education as well. It's about teaching children how to live their life, not just giving them knowledge, but teaching them how to live their life. This move by the school to limit praise, I think, is a really interesting idea, because failure, and I don't mean failure in the most horrible connotation,
the cataclysmic
of the word.
Way, yes.
Absolutely. I mean, failure is not a dirty word. We wouldn't be here without failure. We learn every time from our failure. And what actually happens when children start to fall down occasionally is they start to develop a relationship with their emotions. They start to understand that, hang on, not everything goes my way all the time. How can I handle this? And it's a really important part of child development.
Well, what is the detrimental impact of too much praise, though?
Well, I think what happens, it's not in the short term, it's in the long term. In our lives, we inevitably fall down. Everybody does, almost every single day. What we need to do is prepare children about how they can handle this when they get out of school. And that's essentially what this is doing. We are nudging children towards a relationship with their emotions by teaching them in very, very baby steps in school what failure, and again, not in the terrible connotation of the word, but just in failure, how that they can actually deal with that.
Because in a sense, Andrew, before I come to Trent, this is a pushback at the whole sort of self-esteem movement, which kind of exploded on the landscape over the last 15 to 20 years. On the other hand, we don't want to go to the kind of old days where, you know, these punitive school environments where praise was just totally off the agenda. I mean, praise is a great motivator.
Absolutely, and praise is essential. I mean, it's so important that the children realise that doing great stuff actually leads to great things. I wouldn't say it's a pushback, I'd say it's a modification. I think that absolutely praise is essential, but children need to learn that self-esteem, their own idea of self-worth, comes from them. It doesn't come from other people, it comes from them. And as adults, often we only learn that when we're 40, 50, 60. If children can learn that in school, that is just an amazing achievement.
Yeah, that's a really, it's a subtle process too, that kind of manufacturing of self-esteem from within. Trent Driver, Dean of Academic Development at Brisbane Girls Grammar School. Last year, I gather your school introduced a subject called the philosophy of learning, in a sense, to really tackle this very same issue, this relationship between success and failure and how students feel about themselves.
Yeah, look, it's a program that we've designed to try and build academic resilience in our kids as they come through into secondary school. It's based on a whole lot of research that says that our mindset that we approach school with and that we approach learning with is really important, and that if we take a fixed mindset to our intelligence or our ability that we can only achieve at a certain level, that kids' improvement over the life cycle that they'll spend at school is relatively flat. But those that believe that they can change, that they can take a malleable view to their own intelligence and they can learn how to learn, achieve much greater improvement over time.
It's very meta. What are they doing in the subject?
Oh, they're learning all about the sort of skills that what makes them a good learner, how to be critical, how to take feedback, how to look for feedback, and how to reflect on that feedback and close the gap between what they're doing now in a particular class or a particular subject or a particular area of their learning, and then how to make that jump through setting goals and through talking to people and developing good relationships with their teachers to be able to become better at whatever it is that they're doing at that time.
I'm impressed that you've managed to fit that into an already jam-packed curriculum. So just give us a real sense of how you want your students to think about failure at this early stage of their lives.
Oh, well, look, we really believe that failure is a key step to becoming successful, and that when we think about success, it's easy to think about it in really simplistic, standardised terms, in grades and marks and results. But for us, it's more really about mastery of ideas and mastery of a subject or mastery of a concept. And so that sort of those negative feelings that you get when you learn something, the confusion that you have or the self-doubt that you have or the failure that you have are all intrinsic in you becoming good at whatever it is that you do. And we try and embed that not only in the philosophy of learning program but also in across the curriculum that we teach here at the school.
I wonder though if you can really teach people in a formal sense about failure. I mean, part of this is just experiencing it and mapping your own path to an extent through it and beyond it. I mean, there's something to be said for serendipitous encounters with failure, don't you think, Trent?
Sure, there very much is. And it's not necessarily creating a situation where, you know, we kids fail and then to force them to confront those things, but more giving them the strategies and the tools to be able to accept failure when it occurs and then to manage it, to ask that where do I go to from here question. So how do I set goals to go forward from here? How do I get good feedback from people and how do I get a good understanding about what it is that I need to do to move forward?
So if a student gets a C on an English test, how would you encourage the student to think about that? Because, I mean, school is steeped in measuring, quantifying success.
Yeah, we really talk to our students, and we would really talk to a girl in that sort of situation about moving away from an arbitrary or an absolute measure of what that C might say, but ask, what is it that she needs to do to go forward? How is she relating to a teacher? How is she talking through that? We really believe that persistence and incremental improvement over time is the real measure of success, not necessarily that she got a C or she got a B or she got whatever she managed to pull on that particular piece of work.
Yeah. I wonder if the whole system's conspiring against you, though. It's all about grades. It's all about ranking and comparing.
Yeah, look, it is. And, you know, at the end of the day, when students finish their, you know, their high school education, it becomes down to very, very quantifiable and very, very arbitrary measures as they move from high school into the rest of their lives. But we all get judgment on our success and failure every day, like in the workplace. People tell me whether I'm a success or I'm not a success. And that comes through conversation and that comes through reflection about what I'm doing at any one point in time. And so it's really important that schools, which are safe places, give students the opportunity to develop those skills over time.
Andrew Whitehouse from the Talathon Institute for Child Health Research. Do you think we can teach failure?
I was just listening and I completely agree that there is a serendipitous element to all of this. The thing that Trent really articulately said was that what happens in school is going to be on such a smaller scale to what happens in life. The failures or the errors, the mistakes that we make in school, they're not even on the same scale as what happens post-school. So teaching children, at least giving children to experience the idea of failure, getting them in touch with how they react with their emotions in school is such an important learning experience for later on. And also, I mean, with regards to your point about the system conspiring against, certainly, I think in the school years, there is a bit of an element of the system conspiring against because it is all about academic excellence. Mm. But beyond that, I would absolutely argue that beyond school, the people who I know, the people who we all know, who are what we would call successful, and that doesn't necessarily mean successful in their employment, but I would absolutely say that they have a really good idea of how to deal with their mistakes and their errors. And so I think think that this actually sets children up for greater success in life.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And I think many of the interesting and radical and creative changes you can make in your own life often come because you've hit a wall.
Absolutely.
You know, you actually have failed at something, certainly
yeah.
within or you know, in. I mean, I think that's very interesting. Look, I want to get you both to consider this as a sort of final point. And thinking about what this Perth school has done, that they want to kind of pull back on the praise. Praise still clearly has an important role in our lives and in our relationships and in education, in teaching and in learning. So does self-esteem. Could it be argued that there's a right way to praise? Andrew?
Look, I think there's not a right way for anything. Everything's there's a whole shade of grey with everything. And what I do think, though, is making at the safe environment of school, and it is a safe environment, making that more realistic to the world. I think that's absolutely essential. And to that extent, I think modelling the praise that we give children on the praise that they might get later in life, it really does teach them the most important idea, that your own self-esteem comes from you. It doesn't come from anyone else. It comes from you.
Are there things, though, Andrew, that we shouldn't be praising children for?
Look, I think there are ways of praise. To get to the heart of your question, I think there are ways of praise. I think that a nice comment is a really good way of praising, and but to give people material rewards, children material rewards for smaller things, probably isn't the best way to go, because that's not what happens in life.
Ah, this is paying them to do their homework, perhaps. Trent Driver, what do you think of this one, about the kind of the nature of praise and how we deliver it in the educational environment?
Oh, look, it is always a key strategy, and it will always be key to give kids positive reinforcement and give kids praise to help them progress in their learning. But I suppose the question is how we give that praise and what the praise is for. Like, all the educational research is telling us that the nature of the feedback that students are getting at all levels throughout their schooling is one of the most powerful tools in helping them improve in whatever area they're working in any period of time. And I suppose that it's the difference between personalising praise and making the praise about the nature of a child or who that child actually is and what that child has been doing and what the nature of their work is and what the nature of their learning is. So it will always have a really central role, but it's important that we consider what we're praising students for.
Yeah, Trent, I mean, this is all about, I guess, getting students to understand that success, academic success is a sort of complex word, I think, takes blood, sweat and tears. It takes effort. And we're living in an internet age where you can kind of, you can just pick up your phone and get the answer to any question you desire. And I wonder if that makes or gives the illusion that academic success is easy.
Yeah, well, you know, for people of my generation, academic success was, you know, trawling through books of hundreds and hundreds of pages or up and down stairs in stacks in university libraries and trying to go through that struggle of trying to find the right answer for things. And, you know, for many young people today and for many kids, if they can't find the answer to any particular question on the first page of results on a Google search, it's not really there for them. And so for them, in lots of areas of their life, the way that technology has allowed quick, easy access to information, they haven't had to face that consistent struggle, and they don't understand that fog of confusion, as a colleague of mine tends to call it, is just a natural part of learning and a natural part of getting to where you want to be.
Oh, that's such a good point. The fog of confusion. They would make that feel like a sense of failure, but it's not. It's part of the process. Andrew, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, and I just have to say that the people who succeed in life are those who hang on the longest, and the more that we can teach children to keep coming back after failure, after mistakes, after errors, they are the children who will succeed in life. And so it is about persistence and teaching that, and it's so important.
What a rich discussion for the top of the show. So grateful to you for joining us this morning. Thank you. I have a sense that listeners right across the nation are going to have much to say on this conversation. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Trent.
Thanks, Natasha.
Thank you.
Trent Driver is the Dean of Academic Development at Brisbane Girls Grammar School. Andrew Whitehouse is the Winthrop Professor at the Talithon Institute for Child Health Research at the University of Western Australia. Love to hear what you think about this. How do you talk about failure with your kids? How has failure been fundamental in your own life? Perhaps you can share some examples. Our listener feedback line, 02833 1430, and of course Facebook and our website as well. Up next, the clock. Tick-tock, tick-tock.